Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Follow Me Into the Dark. I am your host, Michelle. Good to have you with me today. So let's just jump right into our story. In 2008, the name Casey Anthony became a household name, and not for good reasons. This disgusting excuse of a human being pulled everyone into her complex web of lies, trying to convince the world that she had nothing to do with her daughter's disappearance. I'll tell you right now, if you are someone who believes that she is innocent, you are not going to like this episode. The lies that come from this vile woman are just insane and over the top. You know, it's not uncommon to lie when you get caught in something, but the extent that she takes these lies, wow. So, let's talk about Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony was born on March 19, 1986, in Warren, Ohio. Her parents, George Anthony, who was a retired homicide detective, he actually quit right before Casey was born, and he was 33. So I don't know if you really call that retired. He did it for 10 years, and afterwards he just had odd jobs. And her mother, Cindy, was a nurse. And in 1989, they all moved to Orlando, Florida. Casey also had a brother, an older brother, named Lee. So Casey seemed to be a typical well-behaved young lady. She won some citizenship award in school. She played sports, volleyball, soccer, track. Her favorite subjects were math and PE. She was an excellent student for most of the time, is what was said about her. She was multi-skilled in academic and sports and very well liked. She won an award for best helper in school. She's liked by her school teachers, the principal, her peers. She wins this Junior Achievement Award. So basically, there's really no history of her being, you know, a crazy bitch yet. There's no history of violence or aggression. But not everything is as it seems. Now is about the time we start seeing a different Casey Anthony. One that lies and deceives. So apparently, she was several credits short of graduating high school, and no one had a clue. She led her family to believe that she was graduating, right up to the very end, even with her grandparents coming in from out of town to attend her graduation. She stopped going to class, but she had the family fooled, and they were believing that she was going to be walking on graduation day for her diploma. So, which is kind of odd to me that they wouldn't know. I knew everything that was going on in my son's school life. The teachers usually let you in on those things, but who knows what she was doing to get away with that. It was easier back then in the 80s and the 90s when the technology wasn't quite as advanced. Anyways, when she was 19, Casey Anthony becomes pregnant. But she doesn't tell her parents until she is 7 months along. So here she is putting on weight. Of course she's showing she's 7 months along. But she's still trying to hide it from her parents. Now, who the father is still a mystery. And she'll likely never say who it is. Shit, maybe she doesn't even know who it is. But here's some possible fathers. There's a guy named Jesus Ortiz, and he briefly dated Casey before dying in a car crash in 2007. Now, the Ortiz family says that they were never told that that he was the father or that he might be the father, and they said they never even knew her or met her. But his name came up from Cindy, from the mother. Another possible father is a guy named Eric Baker. Now, Casey's mom also stated during the trial that Casey told her that he was an old friend and that he could be the father. He also died in a car crash. And she apparently just hooked up with him for one night. But investigators were not able to confirm any connections between him and Casey. They did confirm that there was someone named Eric Baker who died in a car crash, but there was absolutely no connection between him and Casey Anthony. Now, another possibility is a guy named Michael Duggan. His mom is actually the one that claims that he is the father of Kaylee Anthony. He apparently told her this, but he also died in a car crash. This is just weird. Anyways, the next one is Jessie Grund. So she got pregnant right before starting to date Jesse. So the timeline for him being the father doesn't add up at all. But Grund acted as if he was the father. He was caring for Kaylee. He actually believed it could be possible that it was his. Casey wanted his name to go on the birth certificate, but thankfully his father demanded a paternity test. So they didn't put his name on the birth certificate, and the paternity test actually shows that he was not the father. Now, Jessie says that they met in January 2005 while working at Universal Studios. She did actually work there in a Kodak store. And his dad says that when he met her in May of 2005, she looked pregnant. And now remember, at this time, she's not making it known to everybody that she's Prego. Now, another possible father is a guy named Josh. This was a former friend of Casey, told detectives that Casey told her about a one-night stand she had with a guy named Josh that she worked with at Universal Studios. And get this, apparently Josh died in a car crash shortly after Kaylee's second birthday. Josh has never been identified. Nobody knows who Josh is. So there's yet another lie. And Casey Anthony actually told a psychiatrist once that she didn't know who her daughter Kaylee's father was because she became pregnant after passing out at a party when she was 18. So who knows who this little girl's father is? And a friend of Anthony's said that she discussed giving the baby up for adoption, and her mom, Cindy Anthony, said that that was also a conversation that Casey Anthony brought up, wanting to put her up for adoption. But Cindy, her mom, wouldn't have it. She did not want the baby going up for adoption, so she talked her out of it and talked her into keeping the baby. So on August 9th, 2005, Kaylee Anthony was born. And the reason that she named her Kaylee is she wanted the same initials as her and her mother. So she initially wanted to name her something with some kind of Irish name. She thought of the name Riley, but because she wants the initials to match hers and her mom's, she went with Kaylee. So for the next few years, Casey and Kaylee lived with Casey's parents, and Grund acted like the baby's father. Her and Grund broke up in 2006, but he still wanted to be a part of Kaylee's life. You know, he acted as her father during that time, and he really cared for the little girl. And he said they even tried to get back together in November of 2007, but he said that she was not the same Casey he knew before. Now, spring of 2008, a then 22-year-old Casey Anthony meets Tony Lazzaro online. Now, the roommate of Tony says Casey would come over and she would bring Kaylee to their apartment. He said he saw nothing out of the ordinary, and as far as how Casey treated Kaylee, it all seemed pretty normal, typical, seemed like a good mother as far as he could tell. So Casey is there on a regular basis, and then all of a sudden she stops bringing Kaylee with her. He found it kind of odd, But Casey would just kind of shrug and say, oh, she's with my mother, or she's with the nanny. So nothing seemed suspicious at this point. It wasn't until his then ex-girlfriend called him and said, hey, look at the news. Kaylee's missing. He says this whole time that Kaylee was missing, Casey didn't change her demeanor at all. She was still out partying. She was not acting like a grieving mother. She wasn't acting like she was worried or panicked. She didn't say anything about a missing child. She was acting the same. So he realizes she was lying the whole time. She was lying about where she worked. She was lying about everything. One of her biggest lies at that time is that she was working at Universal Studios. So as I said before, she did briefly work there back in like early 2005. January 2005 is when she met that one guy there. But anyways, at this time, when this is going on, 2008, she wasn't working at all. She didn't have a job at all. She is lying to her parents and her friends, making everyone babysit for her, telling them that she is out working when in fact she is just out partying. And she's stealing money from her family too. And this is twisted. On July 7th, which is 8 days before she reported her daughter missing, she writes this poem that says, "What is given can be taken away. Everyone lies, everyone dies." And on July 3rd, which is during this time that Kaylee is missing, Casey goes and gets a tattoo on her left shoulder that says Bella Vita, which is Italian for the beautiful life. But I'm jumping ahead. Let me take this back a notch. I'm jumping ahead in the story. So let's go back. According to Casey Anthony's father, George Anthony, Casey left the family home on June 16th, 2008, taking her daughter Kaylee, who was almost 3 years old at the time, and didn't return for 31 days. Casey's mother, Cindy, asked repeatedly during that month to see Kaylee, but Casey claimed that she was too busy with work, or at other times she said Kaylee was with a nanny who Casey identified by the name of Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez and said that they were at the theme park or at the beach. On July 13th, 2008, Cindy and George get a letter saying that Anthony's car was in a tow yard. When George went to pick up the car, he found Casey's purse along with Kaylee's car seat and toys in the car. He also notices a strong smell, like that of organic matter decomposing, coming from the trunk. Alarmed, Cindy found Anthony at the home of her boyfriend, Tony Lazzaro, and brought her home. So Anthony broke down, told her mom that she left Kaylee with the nanny on June 16th, and that the nanny kidnapped her. So July 15th, let me just tell you how that turns out. July 15th, which is 31 days after 2-year-old Kaylee disappeared. This is when the mom, Cindy, reported her missing to the sheriff's office. And this is how it went down. She made 3 calls to 911. The first one, she calls claiming Grand Theft Auto after they discover the car and get the car back. But she calls and says she wants someone arrested for Grand Theft Auto. She says it is her daughter and that her daughter stole a car and money and she wants to press charges. Now, while she was being transferred to the correct jurisdiction, you can hear in the background the conversation that's going on between Cindy and Casey. And Cindy says, because my next thing will be down to child thing, it's not completely clear, but this is what she's saying. Because my next thing will be down to child thing, and we will have a court order to get her. If that's how you want to play, we'll do it. And you'll never... Then Casey says, that's not the way I want to play. Cindy says, well, then you have... No, I'm not giving you another day. I've given you a month. So, then she gets back on the call with the police, the sheriff's office, and says that she possibly has a missing child's been missing for a month, a three-year-old. I need my daughter arrested for stealing a car and money. They've been missing for a month, and I just found Casey, but my granddaughter is still missing. Please send a deputy out. She calls right back, and she is crying at this point now. She says that her daughter admitted that the granddaughter has been missing for 31 days and the nanny took her. She also commented on the smell coming from the trunk of the car. She said, it smells like there's been a dead body in the damn car. After questioning Casey Anthony, detectives found discrepancies in a signed statement she made about Kaylee's disappearance. Anthony's friends and family never heard of this nanny that she keeps referring to. And they later discover, in fact, there was no nanny. So she actually took them to an apartment building where she said this nanny lived. Called Zanny the Nanny was the nickname. She even points to an apartment. She stays at the car, but she points to an apartment door and says that's where she lives. So when the detectives went to the door and knocked, they looked in the window and found that it was empty. So the next day they go and talk to the management of the apartments and found out that that apartment had been empty for several months and they didn't even have anyone living there by the name of Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez. So the investigators caught her in yet another lie when she told them that she worked at Universal Studios. So she said she was working. She went back to the apartment to pick up Kaylee, and Zanny the nanny was gone. And that she looked and went to all of her common places, the park, the store, went everywhere looking for her and couldn't find her. And apparently this whole time she was just looking for her. What her reasoning was for not reporting her. So detectives already knew that she was lying about Universal Studios and that she did not work there anymore. But they took her back there to kind of catch her in this lie, right? So she goes there with detectives and she walks up to the security guard and says, yeah, I work here, but I lost my badge or, you know, whatever it is she says. And they said, no, I don't have anybody by your name that works here. No, look again. You're wrong. I do work here. There's some back and forth between the security guard and Casey Anthony. And she ends up taking these detectives all over the place. Like she is going to show them like the department that she works in as this event planner. And she's taking them all over the place, walking them everywhere. And they know all along that she doesn't work here. But she keeps up this act. She's walking all over. They're following her. She finally just stops, turns to him, and admits, yeah, I don't work here. So the extent of this girl, her lies, how far she takes her lies, is just dumbfounding. It's so stupid. Why would she even do that? So on July 16th, she was arrested. As the search for Kaylee intensified, people are really getting riled up over her actions. Let's talk about her demeanor, what she's up to while her child is missing. Because remember, at this point, she says the nanny kidnapped her. So that's the impression that she's putting out there, that she knows her kid's missing. But yet, she is still out partying. She goes and gets that tattoo I just talked about. No change in her actions or demeanor at all. She seems like she's having a good time. She's partying it up. She's completely fine. First of all, if your child is missing, let me ask you, because this is disturbing. This is so disturbing. And this is one of the most disturbing things about this case. And this is one reason why everybody was so absolutely pissed at this woman. Let me ask you, if your child's missing, how long would you wait to call authorities? If I couldn't find my child, whether it be at the babysitter's house, at a store, at my own house, I take a few minutes to look around. Oh shit, my kid isn't here. Where the fuck is he? I say that because I have a son. Guess what? I pick up the phone, I dial 911, all within a matter of minutes. Maybe a half hour, depending on, of course, the situation. Would you wait an hour? Would you wait a day? A week? How about 31 fucking days? Are you kidding me? When you have a toddler, first of all, they should never leave your sight, period. You should always have your eyes on them. And if they're with a nanny or a babysitter, and you suspect that that nanny took off with your kid, call the cops. That's a no-brainer. In addition to not reporting your kid missing, she's out acting like nothing is wrong. So on August 21st, a bounty hunter named Leonard Padilla, he posted her bail for $500,000. And he did this in the hopes that she would lead detectives to find Kaylee. He was disappointed when she failed to provide any additional clues. Padilla says that Anthony is narcissistic and promiscuous. And when he says these things, it really fuels the fire of the public. What they're already thinking about her, how much they hate her. So that's fuel in the fire for sure. And this case that now becomes a national media sensation. And a lot of people in the public and the media are just outraged with how this all went down and how she's acting. Now, she's out on bail, but she was back in jail only 8 days later after being released. This time, charged with forging checks and identity theft. So completely unrelated. Her parents post bail for her this time, and she's released into the custody of them with a tracking device. So she's got the little ankle bracelet on. The whole family also refuses to take a lie detector test. Now, I can see why Casey wouldn't want to, being the super liar that she is. It might burst into flames if they hook up a lie detector test to her. In September, Casey turns herself in on more check fraud charges and petty theft. She's released on a $1,250 bond and, of course, the ankle bracelet again. Around this time as well, Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez files a defamation lawsuit against her. So, yeah, there really is a Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez. But she has no connection with Anthony. Never babysat for her, nothing, no connection. So Casey just, saw her name on something, picked her name up, who knows, used this name. And so she files a defamation of character lawsuit against her. So that's awesome, good for her. Now, October 14th, 2008, Casey is indicted by a grand jury on charges of first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and 4 counts of providing false information to law enforcement. She's arrested, and the judge orders that she be held without bond. Now, because this is a capital crime, she does face the possibility of the death penalty. The charges of child neglect are dropped shortly after this, since it is now assumed that the child is dead. October 28th, she pleads not guilty to all charges. Now, December 11th, 2008, a meter reader, Roy Kronk is his name, and he stops by the side of the road. Sounds like he was just pulling over because he had to use the bathroom. So he walks out and he finds a plastic bag with human remains. And this is about a half a mile away from the Anthony's home. On December 19th, the remains were confirmed to be those of Kaylee Anthony. The remains were in a plastic bag wrapped in a Winnie the Pooh blanket, which, after obtaining a search warrant for the Anthony home, it is discovered that Kaylee's room is in Winnie the Pooh. And all of this is inside a laundry bag. Now, the laundry bag is one that is sold in sets. Like, there's two laundry bags that are sold together. And in the Anthony home, there was one laundry bag found, the matching one. There was also remnants of duct tape on the mandible of the skull. All of these things show and point towards the fact that this was actually murder. And there's a retired medical officer that talks about this. So 10 years later, this is her talking about this, and this is what she says. Looking back 10 years, what I was most appalled with was this lack of the truth and the lack of substantiated information. You could just say lies and not back it up by any kind of evidence, and it was allowed. That was a turning point for me. This had been happening more and more in the past 10 years, but for me, that was the first time I had to deal with it in society. That sometimes the truth doesn't matter, and if you just say it loud enough or often enough, people get confused and start believing you. As a medical examiner, we are expected to do a few things. Identify the body, come up with a cause of death, why that person dies, and the manner of death. We don't look at just what the autopsy or just what the body shows. We look at the scene. We look at the circumstances. We look at what's going on preceding the death. And in this case, you have a child that is not reported missing. When the child is reported missing by the grandmother, there's no explanation that's credible for what happened to that child. The body had clearly been hidden. It had been put in two plastic bags, then in a canvas bag, and then thrown behind a rotten log a couple of blocks from her house. And there was duct tape that was still present on the face. Those three things together clearly made this a homicide. It has not changed my mind. It's not changed the police's mind. It's not changed the prosecutor's mind. There's absolutely no proof this was an accident. Sometimes I think science took a back seat on the truth with Kaylee Anthony's case. Now, as far as the smell that came from the car, they did have a dog go in, brought to the car, sniffing around, and when it got to the trunk, it stopped. It detected something. And after they analyzed the trunk, they did find a hair in it, and they determined that that hair was from a dead body, not a live one. And so they determined that there was a dead body in that car. So with prosecutors seeking the death penalty, the trial of Kaylee Anthony began June 2011. That's 3 years after the disappearance of Kaylee. And cable news channels broadcast the trial live. And it just dominated the news. This was all over the news. So during the court, the trial, the hearing, the prosecution, they painted a picture of Anthony as the promiscuous girl, the party girl, not really giving a shit about where her daughter was. She didn't want to be tied down by a toddler. She didn't want the responsibility of being a mom anymore. And they brought out all of her lies. Not only was she caught in a lie about where she worked and the fake nanny, which, by the way, she said that the nanny was a former girlfriend of a guy named Jeffrey Hopkins, and Jeffrey was an ex of hers. She said Jeffrey had a son named Zachary, and she even had a picture of a man and a boy in her cell phone and said it was him. Now, this guy Jeffrey says he went to middle school with Kaylee, and he doesn't even have a kid. So I don't know where she comes up with this shit. Her lies are just so out of control. She's stupid. Anyways, another lie that she was caught in was she told the police that she spoke to Kaylee on the phone on July 15th. And this was the day that she was reported missing. She told the police that she talked to her, that Kaylee said, "Hi, Mommy," and told her a story about her shoes and a book that she was reading. She said she was excited to talk to me. In reality, Kaylee was already dead. Now, a website about chloroform had been searched on the Anthony's home computer. And at first, Cindy, the mom, took responsibility for this search. And there was chloroform that was found in the trunk of the car as well. Now, the computer showing the search about chloroform, it actually showed that that took place during a time that Cindy was at work. So it wasn't her doing the web search for chloroform. Now, Casey Anthony's defense, Jose Baez was the lead attorney in that, and the other attorney, they were working pro bono. Now, this is what they said. They really flipped things upside down with the stuff that they were pulling out. They came out of the gate saying that Kaylee actually drowned. It was an accidental drowning in the family's pool on June 16th. And that George covered up the death so that Casey wouldn't be charged with child neglect. Let me remind you again, there is absolutely no evidence to back this up. This is just something that they brought up in the hopes of, well, getting off. So Baez also shocked everybody when he said in his opening statement that George had in fact sexually abused Casey beginning when she was 8 years old, and that her brother Lee also made sexual advances towards her as well. Now, because all this was brought up, they did paternity tests too to see whether or not George or her brother was Kaylee's father. And of course that was ruled out. They were not. But the attorney brings this up saying that she's already been living in a house of deception and pain. She's used to covering up her hurt is what he is saying. Also, trying to make people feel sorry for her and make her the victim is another reason why they're doing this. And of course, George denies all this. On June 30th, the defense rested. Anthony herself did not take the stand. They're blaming a dysfunctional upbringing. And I'll tell you right now, I don't buy for 1 second the accusations of sexual abuse. This girl lies about everything. I don't believe it. I sympathize. I'm not dismissing how horrible sexual abuse is. But I don't believe her. You cannot believe anything. And she lies about the stupidest shit. She lies about everything. She lies about what color the sky is. She is pulling anything out to turn it around, to blame other people, and to look like the victim. Now, July 5th, verdict comes in. The jury found Casey Anthony not guilty of first-degree murder, aggravated manslaughter, and aggravated child abuse. They said it was mostly circumstantial evidence that was presented. Now, she was found guilty on 4 counts of providing false information to law enforcement authorities and sentenced to 4 years in jail and $4,000 in fines. Now, 2 of the false information counts would later be thrown out in appeals court. Now, she received credit for time served and good behavior. She had already been in for 3 years and 1 day. So, since she already did some time, she was actually released shortly after. She didn't have to spend much time. She also was required to be on probation for a year due to her check fraud charges, and was billed with more than $200,000 owed to the law enforcement for the search of Kaylee. Now later, the juror said that the reason for the not guilty verdict was because the state couldn't prove how she died. This is bullshit. There is plenty of cases that get convictions without knowing the how. That little girl was murdered, and they let the killer walk. And I know some of the jurors have come out over the years regretting their decision. Even the judge said that there was enough to convict. He thought it was highly probable that Casey Anthony was going to get a guilty verdict. The detective in the case said that he has dealt with parents through his career that have lost children or have missing children. And this one was clearly different. She showed no remorse. He said even while they were sitting there, he was sitting there with her and she's filling out paperwork. And she was just visiting about her life, how she wanted to pursue a career in being a personal trainer. The conversation was all about her, all about Casey. She wasn't the usual frantic parent who's worried about their child. It wasn't about Kaylee at all. It was all about Casey. After all the evidence, everything that we do know to be true, and the timeline, it appears that it went down like this. So think about it. The Google searches for chloroform and the duct tape found on the jawbone indicate that's how it happened. So one theory is that it was an accident, that she was trying to get Kaylee to calm down or be quiet, and she used chloroform to do it. She was trying to use the chloroform, and it went too far, and she accidentally killed her. But why the duct tape then? Which is stupid, this is wrong anyway, but let's just say she decided she wants to try chloroform to just knock her kid out because she wants her to go to sleep. You have to duct tape it on her face? She's 2 years old. You can't hold that up to her mouth? No, you duct tape it on her face. Okay, so then after she dies, she kills her, she puts her in the back of her trunk. She drove around with her in her trunk, who knows how long. Even being caught on camera at a Blockbuster Video that very night with her boyfriend renting two videotapes. By the way, the movies that she rented were Untraceable, which is about a kidnapper and killer, and Jumper, which featured a character who is a mother that abandons her 5-year-old child. The clerk at the Blockbuster said they seemed normal, came and went, disposition was completely normal. So, again, who knows how long the body was in the trunk, but then she disposes of the body about 0.5 mile in the wooded area near her house. She just keeps telling her mom different stories about where Kaylee is so that she won't question. Oh, she's with the nanny. Oh, they're at the amusement park. Oh, they're at the beach. There's always some reason. And so, you know, her mom, her parents don't see her or Kaylee for 31 days. Now, in the end, she eventually gets caught and she just weaves more lies, more and more lies, hoping to get out of it. Her old cellmate recently came out talking about her and says she definitely lied about everything. She says she did not act like a grieving mom. And when she got the news that the body was found, that Kaylee's body was found, she didn't act like a regular mom, upset and crying. No, she had to be taken to medical because she was having an anxiety attack. Like, oh shit, I just got caught. So now, since then, she has been living free. She's out there walking around. Yay. She's been living in Florida still. And in the beginning, apparently her parents wanted nothing to do with her initially, but recently, I guess they made amends and they all forgave each other. She treated them like shit too. It's pretty messed up. I guess she tried opening a photography business, but that didn't succeed. She also has tried launching her own private investigator firm to help those facing serious legal charges, since she knows what it's like being the accused. You know, maybe she can help them hone in on their lying skills. She's recently been back in the news because she was in a bar fight. Some chick named Thelma Moya spilled a drink on her leg, and then things escalated. Reports say that Casey told the officers that it started because they both dated the same man at the same time, and so they had a beef with each other. Casey Anthony said she told police, this is what a police report says, Casey Anthony is tired of getting drinks thrown in her face. So I would throw a drink in her face if I saw her. I would absolutely throw a drink in her face. She needs more than that thrown in her face. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Maybe a fist. Anyways, and here's another one. She's also writing a book. She's writing an account of her life, talking about her side of the story. That's what it sounds like anyway. So I'm guessing a fictional book, right? Anyway, so there you have it. The story of the most hated mom in America. Well, at least at that time anyway. Unfortunately, there seems to be some pretty strong contenders emerging lately. Lori Vallow is one that comes to mind. But yeah, she's one nasty bitch. She's a horrible person. She killed her daughter. She absolutely did. She's a piece of shit. She's like the female version of Chris Watts, in my opinion. You know, what a vile human being. She is, in my mind, 100% guilty. She murdered that poor baby and she got away with it. And poor Kaylee definitely did not get justice in this case. But because of Kaylee's death, there was a new law called, it's called Kaylee's Law, which forces parents to notify authorities within 24 hours when a child goes missing. But seriously, should you need a law forcing you to report your kid missing? How about do it ASAP and don't be a super snatch like Casey Anthony? So yeah, Casey Anthony, super bitch, piece of shit. Anyways, that, yeah, poor Kaylee. Thank you again for following me down that tragic and dark path. That one is just heartbreaking. You know, and Casey Anthony, she'll get what's coming to her someday. Even if it isn't until the end and she's, you know, in the fiery pits of hell. But she'll eventually get hers. But thank you again. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And you can contact me at followthedarkpodcast@gmail.com. All the links are in the episode description. Again, it's going to be 2 more weeks, like I said, every 2 weeks now. So I will see you next time. And I always say, you know, stay dark, my friends, but don't stay Casey Anthony dark, okay? But still, until next time, stay dark, my friends.